You got to be prepared and ready, and you got to knock it out of the park when your opportunity comes. And you never know when that opportunity is going to come.
Today on the Rising Coaches Podcast, we get the opportunity to speak with the current director of scouting and analytics at Alabama, as well as a Rising Coaches member, Coach Adam Bauman. Prior to Bauman's years at Alabama, he served in various roles at the University of Buffalo, Mississippi State University, Santa Clara University, Arizona State, and Southern Illinois. On top of Bauman's role at Alabama, he is also the head coach for Blue Collar U, which is a team in the TBT, or known as the basketball tournament. We are excited to learn more from the assistant in Alabama, so everyone please welcome Coach Adam Bauman. Video analysis is expensive and your budget probably isn't getting much bigger. Fulcrum Tech is here to help. Used by basketball teams at all levels from Division I all the way to high school, their Angles product is very similar to what you know and allows you to code, capture, and analyze with ease. All you have to do is import the raw video in Synergy with just the click of a mouse. Over the past 2 years, over 60% of Division I teams in conferences such as the SEC, Pac-12, American, NBC, and A-10, just to name a few, have made the postseason, all while using Fulcrum Tech and saving thousands and thousands of dollars compared to their old companies. Reach out to Fulcrum Tech on X at Fulcrum Tech or their sales at sales@fulcrumtech.com. Just shoot them over an email and be sure to mention if you are a Rising Coaches member. Do more, spend less with Fulcrum Tech. Welcome everybody to another episode of the Rising Coaches Podcast. You got Doug Caputo and Alan Major here. And today we have ourselves a current member of the Rising Coaches, as well as the current director of scouting and analytics, Coach Adam Bauman over at Alabama. Coach Bauman, what's going on?
Hey, thanks for having me, guys.
No, you got it, man. Thank you. We know you guys are busy and bullets are flying left and right. So we appreciate you stepping into the bunker here for a little bit.
Yeah, no problem. It's actually our bye week, so it's been good. Did not have a midweek game, so it's perfect timing.
Yeah, good stuff. Thank you.
And you guys have been having a heck of a season, so it's to be able to steal you away for a little bit, definitely a good thing. But actually, what we want to do is we want to talk about, so for you, scouting analytics, as we mentioned, at Alabama, just talk about your current role, some of the major steps that you took to help get you to Alabama first, but then just kind of everything in between, you know, some of the things that maybe have helped you grow in the industry throughout the years.
Yeah, I mean, I think I'll start with kind of, it goes back to me being a manager at Southern Illinois, you know, and getting my start in a day and age when there wasn't really video guys and ops guys. You know, your GA did the ops and video stuff, and then the managers were kind of your video coordinators. You know, I started when we were still doing my freshman year. I was actually talking about it with someone, one of our managers the other day. Like, my freshman year, we were using VHS tapes, and by my senior year, we were on computers. So I kind of saw it all.
Right. Yeah, yeah, the deck-to-deck days going, man.
But no, yeah, so I started as a manager at Southern Illinois, got my feet wet with Coach Lowry, yep. His first 5 years as a head coach there. And we had obviously a lot of success, and then moved on to Arizona State as a GA. I had a cup of tea there. I was there for about 4 months, and then got offered a full-time job at Santa Clara. Was video coordinator there for 3 years, then Mississippi State. Video coordinator for 3 years, and then obviously got linked up with Coach Oates and going, we are in year nine together. So it's been a wild ride. I can't believe it's 9 years too. It's crazy to think about, but here we are. Obviously my role has changed from video to ops, you know, coming down here to Alabama. I came as ops and now has kind of moved most of the ops stuff off my plate, and kind of where it's kind of strictly just basketball, and analytics and scouting and dabbling some of the recruiting stuff, you know, especially from a video standpoint, since my role is not to go on the road.
Yeah. I had a question, Adam, with the new rule of, you know, guys being able to kind of do more stuff on the court. I don't know. Does that affect you at all in any way, or, you know, just from a responsibility perspective, are you kind of still in your lane of what you've been, or any tweaks to it, or how did that change?
Yeah, no, it did. I mean, I'm fortunate to work with an awesome awesome boss who put me into one of those five spots. So I am on the floor now. And for a guy who's done support staff work for, you know, years and years and years, and kind of didn't think that a break was going to come, you know, I was patient enough, and the rules changed, and I was fortunate enough to be in a situation where coach decided to put me on the floor.
Nice. Nice. And in terms of what does that consist of? Is it, I'm guessing it's probably a little bit of everything, you know, some scouting, some player development, some.
Yeah. Yeah. So my role currently, I work with him on the offensive side of the ball. So I do the advanced scout for our offense. So opponent defense, putting together edits to show the team, you know, identity edits for them on their, how they guard, how we'll score, and kind of show those edits to the team, you know, 1 and 2 days out from the game, and kind of helping keep coach organized. I mean, the offense is Coach Oates. Like it's his system. Like he's,
yeah, he seems like a tinkerer too, man. He's a tinkerer, isn't he?
Oh yeah. Yeah. He loves it. I always, we have a play meter, and I kind of keep coach like, coach, we're at 274 plays now. Like, for a record this year, what are we doing? We're actually as simple as we've ever been this year. And we have the best, you know, arguably the best offense in the country. And simplicity has been a huge part of it, I think. And obviously really good players who shoot the basketball.
If you get the people that can do it, they always say you can have the best X's and O's, but if you don't have the people that can do it, you know, what's the use of it?
Good players make you look really smart, and we got a handful of them, or several of them.
Absolutely. So. Yeah, Jimmy's and Joe's always over X's and O's for sure.
No doubt.
So I'm assuming at that level, if you're sitting there scouting the defense to help prep for your offense, you got somebody on the flip side of the ball kind of doing the exact opposite, scouting the other team's offense to prep for the defense?
Yeah, that's right. So we've done this, and we went to it. It was our second year at Buffalo. We went to kind of offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator. And what we found is like, there's more consistency in game plans that way, if it's kind of the same guy doing it. So that's kind of what we've done here for the last 7-8 years. And it's worked really well. I know a lot of other guys are doing it. We actually got the idea from Purdue. So I know they've been doing it for a long time. When we were at Buffalo, we got the idea from them. So myself and Coach Pannone work on the offensive side of the ball. You know, Coach Pannone does a lot of the cleanups and teaching post practice, post game teaching and cleanup edits. So myself and Coach Pannone work on the offensive side of the ball. Coach Pannone does the offensive cleanups post game, post practice, and I work on the advanced scout side. And then on the other side, Coach Murphy, Coach Klonch work with their kind of respective GAs that they work with on the advanced scout for the defense, and they kind of split the scouts on that side. And it seemed to work pretty well.
Yeah, it's funny you say that, Adam. I was at Ohio State with Coach Mata, and I want to say it was our third year. I think it was a year after we went to the Final Four, so it was year four. We were going into year four, and it was one of those executive decisions when he met with us, like, "Yeah, guys, I'm thinking about doing this." And oh, by the way, Alan, you got to have the defense this year. So, but I will say this, man, and I'm glad you brought that up, because for me personally, I don't know how the guys on your staff feel about it since they've been doing it. My growth like went through the roof, because you're on every game. So it's not like you're waiting for the next, you know, 3 or 4 games and then here's my scout again.
Yep.
It's like you're on every game. But again, the consistency of the voices for the players, it's really good, because they know where the information's coming from during the game. They know who they're going to be hearing from in a timeout. So there's just a consistency to it. And I grew like a weed, man, because I got about three, you know, halfway through the year, maybe a little bit farther than that. I'm like, people can only run so much stuff. And right. then like after that, I was like, well, all right, this is kind of, it gets into your system a little bit in terms of like, all right. And it really clarifies like, you know, how do we want to defend this? Because you know, you get that edit, and you're going through it, you know, and everything that they do. And I just know for me, it really helped me grow as a coach once I kind of, you had the microscope on one side of the ball like that.
I've grown immensely, especially on the offensive side of the ball. That's the side I've been on for the last 8 years. And when we did the same way at Buffalo, and, you know, before that, I was always on the defensive side of the ball, doing all the, you know, as a video coordinator, you're cutting up, you know, all their sets that they run, how many times have they ran them. Like, that's all I ever known. Like, most, you know, other staffs I'd been, like from an offensive game plan standpoint, like, I think that's where it's allowed us to really dive in and attack weak points of defenses and stuff like that, where when you split scouts three ways, you know, you're spending 90% of your time on the defensive side of the ball. How are we going to stop them versus, like, how can you score? Like, where are their weak points? And I think that's definitely helped our offense, and obviously shows in the numbers on, you know, where we've been offensively here over the last several years.
Kind of talking on the numbers too. I mean, analytics obviously is what a big portion of your job, as we mentioned, but talking about, like, the analytics, so what are, like, we'll say the top two, if not top three things that you guys numbers wise look at, and you're like, this is what we have to improve. Like, what, I guess, what are the top three things that you guys analytically look at or narrow in on?
Yeah, we do a lot. You cannot give my boss, coach, you cannot give him enough numbers. Like I've not ran out of numbers to give him, but some of the things, the big ones we do. So we do we break down all of our players' shots. And if I could show you one of the reports on how we break it down, it's pretty cool. Like, we'll break it down. I actually got this idea from Brandon Rosenthal, who did it with the Rockets back in the day when he was with the Rockets for a year or two. And he told us about it. He told me about this was when I was like a video guy at Santa Clara, I think, is when it was.
Okay.
And I always thought, man, that's like actually genius. So, you know, I never had the manpower at Buffalo or any of my other stops to actually put the plan into place. So what we do, we break down all their shots in the at the rims, non at the rims, and threes. And then within that, there's like 20 to 30 different subcategories of what type of shot it is. You know, is it strong hand, weak hand, off 1 foot, off 2 foot at the rim? You know, was it, was it on a pick and roll, a go on catch? Like, how did you get that at the rim? Like, so we have these different categories. Like, we have like a scheme type, we have a, you know, footwork type, we have, you know, hand type, and all assisted, non-assisted. I couldn't name them all off, but like, we do the same thing for threes. We do the same thing for mid-range. And so, like, what we found is, especially with threes in our system, which obviously everyone thinks, you know, we shoot a bunch of threes, and that's, we definitely do, but we want at the rims first. At the rims and fouls are what we want, you know, and the threes are a byproduct of that relentless attack in the paint. So the shot type report that we do for all of our guys is the major one. And then we've kind of started to expand and toy with how they get their assists, how they turn stuff, how they turn it over for our guards, and really turning that into a player development plan. So our player development is surrounded around the numbers. So like, if a guy struggles with his, you know, certain footwork, we may just say, cut that footwork out, or we need to work on it, or, off 1 foot or off 2 feet. Like, some guys shoot a lot better off 2 feet than 1 feet. So, you know, just we design a custom player development plan for those guys. And a lot of it is based on the numbers, and coach is a believer in that. And it's kind of taken on a life of its own, to be honest with you, to the point where we do it in recruiting now. So we'll break down all the recruit film and do the same thing we do for our players, for the recruits when they come to campus.
No, I was just going to say, what's so good about that is you're able to put your opinion after the information.
Right.
And so often it's the opinion first and then the information. Right. Like that you get the player, like, hey, I think you should ABC, whatever it is. And then here's why, as opposed to like, okay, here's the information, then here's what we're going to do.
Right.
And so you're kind of using the numbers to kind of back up, you know, and then you're actually coaching through the information. So guys now, like, how they got to get better is concrete. It's like, no, I feel he should improve on, like, no, you don't have to feel, like, here it is.
You show them the numbers. Numbers don't lie.
No doubt. Never have. Never will.
Never have. Question. So
I like that, man. That's good.
It's been really good. You know, some other things, obviously we track paint touches. That's kind of a staple for us. Mm-hmm. You know, what like our that, paint yeah. touch, you know, points per possession on, you know, on no paint touch possessions versus 1, 2 and three or more paint touches. It's been a staple for us, honestly, since really our second year at Buffalo is when we started kind of tracking that, you know, and then pace of play, like where we're, you know, at what point in the shot clock do we get our first paint touch? So we want a paint touch in the first 6 seconds. And then, you know, we have the data to back it up that if we get a paint touch in the first 6 seconds, our points per possession is significantly higher than if it's not. So, those are kind of things that, some of the main things. I mean, we do a lot. I could talk for hours on.
I was going to say we could do a podcast. Yeah. We could do a series. We could do a pod series on that stuff.
For sure. For sure. And we're always trying to stay on the forefront of that stuff. I think, you know, what coach has been able to build, you know, at Buffalo and what he's been able to carry on here is like, he wants to stay on the forefront of where basketball is, where it's going. And I think we've been able to do that.
Well, I mean, it's definitely great. And I'm sure we would love to be able to sit down and even kind of at some point, either you or Brandon, heck, just to be able to kind of see that, like that back end and how you were talking about how you have worked things. We can always figure out a way to make that work later on. But we also kind of want to talk about the other side of your job is, we mentioned analytics, but then also scouting. So we don't get the opportunity to speak with many people for the recruiting aspect. Now, I will preface this by saying, share as much or as little as you wish. Obviously, we're not trying to dig into your behind the scenes plans, but like, what are some of the top things you guys look for when you're recruiting a player? I mean, I guess this is going for other coaches to start learning like what to look for, but then even players, if they're listening, like this is what we look for. What are some things that you guys narrow in on?
No, in our system, shooting for one, you gotta be able to shoot the basketball. If you don't shoot the basketball, you have to be really dynamic at something else. You know, whether you're the toughest dude that walks on the court and you can guard any position, you know, like Herb Jones for us, like when we first got here and we didn't recruit him, we walked into a gold mine in that one and like, you know, couldn't shoot it. But now, you know, it's crazy. We say he couldn't shoot it. He couldn't shoot it back then. Probably the hardest worker I've ever been around. And over the last month has shot over 40% from three in the NBA. So, you know, made himself into a shooter, but he was really dynamic at, you know, I mean, one of the best defenders I've ever been around, you know, arguably one of the best defenders in the NBA today, you know, so really dynamic. But length, as athleticism, and shooting, I mean, that's we look at that at all positions. Obviously, we got small guards, you know, the Sears kid is dynamic. You know, he doesn't have length, not overly athletic, but he's a dynamic, strong physical driver. He's dynamic, and he can shoot the basketball. But you kind of look down up and down our roster, and that's kind of what we look at.
Yeah.
So you're telling me you don't want the really short guys who can just attack the rim? There is.
I mean,
unless he's dynamic at it.
unless he's really dynamic. I mean, like,
you know, guys, but like we're not going to put more than like one non-shooter out there. Like it just doesn't fit our system. You know, there's room for one. I mean, we got some fives that don't necessarily shoot the three. We've played with shooting fives, but if you play with a shooting five, now you can play with a non-shooting wing. Maybe that is a tough dude that, you know, we have a kid in Mohamed Diabate right now that has kind of forced his way into the lineup because he has toughness. He rebounds the basketball, doesn't really shoot it that great. But when you put four other shooters around him, you know, he can go to work.
No doubt. Every now and then it pays to have one guy on the floor that doesn't need the ball to help you win. Fill some other holes. That's a big deal.
Our best teams have had that kind of glue guy. And I think you definitely need that type of a guy, you know, on your roster for sure.
Now I'm going to go to the other side of things and say, so we know what you're looking for. What are there anything that you've like on the recruiting trail? You're like, this is like a big turnoff for a kid. Like, is there anything in particular that really kind of turns you off of recruiting somebody?
Yeah, so, I mean, obviously, I don't get to go out on the road as much in my role. But I know the one thing that the coach, you know, especially Coach Oates, always comes back and says is he doesn't have a motor. And if he doesn't have a motor, he's going to have a hard time playing. So, especially with the pace we play. And you know, we obviously get credit for our offense a lot. And the offense is talked about a lot. But we also have been, you know, we had been – top three and or top five in defense, you know, two out of the last 4 years as well. So got to have a motor for sure. That's probably the biggest complaint I hear, you know, when we are sit in on recruiting meetings is, you know, the separator in most guys.
Yeah. Yeah.
it's something actually, and we're fortunate across the street. We've had Coach Saban for a long time, and he always talked about his thing is always ands and buts. Like, they're small and they do this and they do that. Or, you know, man, he shoots it really, really well, but he doesn't have a moment. But, you know, he has issues off the court. So ands and buts, man. We talk about those all the time.
I like that. Speaking from one of the best to do it on the football side of things, for sure. I mean, there's even been a time, I guess I'll say real quickly, like, there's been a time where I've walked into the gym with one of my coaches, this was years ago, and there's a kid gets pulled out with like 4 or 5 minutes left to go. They were up like 10, 15. And he starts kind of like running his mouth to his head coach. The coach looks at me, grabs me and says, we're out. And I'm like, wow. Like, and I mean, yeah, everybody has their own, like sometimes you can easily work with that. But he goes, if he's willing to do that to his head coach in high school right now, he's probably going to be willing to do that to me later on. We're out. I'm like, okay, that's fair. So, but I mean, it definitely just kind of gives you an idea. So one thing I want to talk about also is the transfer portal. Okay. We won't touch on it long, but how has this like affected not even necessarily you guys, but just everything? It's just, do you find this as a good or a bad thing?
It's an is what it is thing. You know, shoot. I say that, but it's been great for us. I mean, you look up and down our roster right now and yep. we only had 3 returning players. You know, the rest were freshmen or portal guys. And we got, you know, a couple of them that are starting for us, you know, Aaron Estrada, Latrell Reitzel Jr. Like, those guys have been really good for us this year. So, like, it is what it is. We adapt. I think that's one thing that coach is really good at, is like, doesn't get really wrapped up in the portal and, you know, what it is. Let's attack it. Let's find a way to keep it our advantage. You know, and as I put my recruiting hat on for a second, like, no one's had more success with players in the last 4 years than we have as far as increasing guys stock, you know, whether it was via the draft or producing pros. Like, we're number one in lottery picks in the last 4 years, number two, tied for second in first rounders, tied for second in total draft picks in the last, you know, 4 years. So, you know, if you want to improve your draft stock, come on down to Tuscaloosa.
You know, it's funny. I think the big thing I hear from a lot of coaches too, Adam, is like, I think everybody understood this stuff was coming, right? Between NIL and the portal. Yep. It's just that, you know, when it's a blizzard and a hailstorm, or, you know, and an ice storm at the same time, you know, had one dropped and then you give it a year or two to adjust and regulate, do whatever you got to do, then you drop the other one. But the fact that both dropped within a 2-month period,
yeah,
I think that's probably the biggest thing that maybe threw everybody. But I think everybody's past that WTF point, right? It's now it's like, hey, this is the landscape we live in. So you got to re-recruit your own group first in the spring, you know, re-recruit your own group first before you even step out the door. And then, you know, hopefully everybody shows up at the first team meeting and you can count heads and say, this is who we got, you know.
We talk about that all the time. I mean, we're not only re-recruit, but you're constantly recruiting your own players, like 100%. All season long, like all
no doubt
off season. Like, you just like, and it's not that you're constantly, you know, you just, when you say re-recruit, like, it's not, you're just making sure you have a really strong relationship with them.
Exactly.
Knowing where their head's at, knowing where our head's at. So they know where we're at. So we're all on the same page with kind of where we're going. You know, if you get off the page, hey, let's talk about it. Let's, you know, it's become a little bit business, but you still have to have really good relationships with the guys.
Yeah, absolutely. I was talking with a friend of mine the other day, and I said, you almost have to develop for every player, a care package. And CARE being an acronym. So, you know, C for obviously coach them, you know, coach them every day. A, attention off the floor. Hey, man, let's go to lunch. Let's go get orange juice. Is that crazy girlfriend still stalking you? You know, what's going on? Reps, pre-practice, post-practice, reps. This is how we get better. This is what's next. All right. Next time, 2-foot runner. We're going to do that for the next 2 weeks, 2-foot runner, whatever. And then energy, positive energy. Like, you know, you have to give them, they got to feel you in some way, shape, or form every single day. So, but every guy from starter to walk-ons, you know, almost needs that you got to develop a personal care package for each guy.
No, I like that. And you could even go cares with a dollar sign at the end of that.
Yeah, right. Yeah, no, no doubt. Which goes into the- no doubt. Yeah, because yeah. Who, yeah, who's getting the raise? Who's getting the raise next year?
throwing the NIL in there, and that's a completely different. Yeah,
no question.
And then one thing also, just kind of on the side of everything, a little bit changing the topic, but are you coaching the TBT this year? I know you were with Blue Collar U in previous, so are we going to be seeing an Adam Bauman on TBT again?
Hey, man, I'm not going to lie, man. Like, that deal there, like, has been by far – I tell the guys, man, the first year we did it, like, I mean, shoot, I was tearing up in the locker room after we lost because I was like, guys, like, this has literally been the funnest two – 3 weeks of my coaching career. Unbelievable. Yeah. Like, never would I thought that I would have been able to, like, not only coach those guys again, but, like, all of them. Like, that was literally, like, the top 13 guys we had in our run there at Buffalo. Like, if you were to take 13 of them, like, those are the 13 we would want. And to be
and
in the locker
room, and they're all better.
Oh, and they're pros. They're all
better. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And you're playing against pros. Like, I'm telling you, man, that deal during the summertime, and I'm extremely, extremely thankful for Coach O's to allow me to take like 3 weeks off in July to literally go do that and be like all in. Like, I'm telling you, like, especially the year we made the run and won it. I mean, Coach Oates was sending me like he was watching scout games. Like, he was all in on the thing. Like, you thought he was getting the million.
Yeah, no doubt. No, he's like, showing up the games. Yeah.
And it's like the best coaching development I've ever had. Like, I mean, talk about putting your feet in the fire and just trying to figure some stuff out. Like, that was awesome. It was awesome. So, still up in the air. You know, I don't want to break do any announcements or anything here on the Rising Coaches podcast, but
right,
we're still working on this year. You know, it's a it takes a financial commitment for each team to get into that thing. And the guys that we have, some of them are playing in high level leagues over there and are making really, really good money. And they're kind of doing that. I mean, it's winner take all. So like, if you lose, you don't get anything. And you know, it's a big risk on their bodies and their careers to do that. We're working through some of those things now and doing some negotiating and trying to figure all that out. But, I would love, I mean, it's the best time of my life, man. It's really, really been fun. And to see all those guys now with like kids and they're hanging out with my son, like this past summer, you're like, oh, we're all adults. We go out and have a drink at night. You know, you don't do that stuff in college with them, but now we're having a drink and hanging out with their kids. Like, it's just a different level relationship, man. It's been really, really rewarding. Obviously we won it the 1 year. So financially that was great, but more like the relationship to reconnect with those guys. It's been unbelievable.
No, I can imagine. I can imagine. Well, that would be a cool experience. We'll be doing live pods at the Final Four. So if you get some information and you need to drop something, you know, we'll get you back on, and you can drop some news.
Sounds good.
And then, kind of talking about that with Rising Coaches, I guess one of the final questions that I had before we got into our final segment was just, I know, as we mentioned, you've been a member of Rising Coaches. That's how actually me and you have connected in the past. And just if you have any stories, any way it has ever benefited you, or just anything in general, if you just wanted to share about that, I guess this would be the shining light moment.
Yeah, I mean, shoot, I certainly would not be where I am today without Rising Coaches. I mean, just in the fact of meeting Adam Gordon, you know, like, he single-handedly got me the job at Buffalo. Like, I mean, we had been let go at Mississippi State, you know, and Adam had already moved on and had an assistant with Coach Ray at SEMO, and he was randomly on the road recruiting at a JUCO available event in LA, of all places, and randomly sat down next to Brian Hodgson, who Nate had already hired. And they had kind of gone through and actually had hired a guy and it didn't end up working out for whatever reason. And this was like late April. It was the April recruiting period. And you know, they randomly sat down next to each other, and Gordo gave Brian my name and man, I had one 20-minute phone conversation with Brian. He said, hey, sounds like you'd be a great fit. You got experience, what we're looking for. I'm going to give your number to Coach Oates. And, you know, if anyone who knows Coach Oates, like he's, when he wants ready to make a decision, he's ready to make a decision. And I had one 40-minute conversation with him, and he offered me the job. Told me to sleep on it, and the next day I slept on it. And, you know, that was on a Monday morning. I think I was on a plane Wednesday on my way up to Buffalo. And so, and that's like, you know, everyone says like, you know, how do you make steps? Shoot, a lot of it's, you got to get lucky being in the right place at the right time. And then you got to be ready for the job that you get. You got to be prepared and ready, and you got to knock it out of the park when your opportunity comes, and you never know when that opportunity is going to come. I've been extremely, extremely fortunate to work with really good people at all my stops. You know, I've taken different things from different stops, and you know, none better than Coach Oates. Obviously, he's one of the best in the game right now. And you know, on top of that, he's just a really good dude. You know, like he's a high school basketball coach at heart. And he just happened to be coaching at the University of Alabama.
You know? Yeah, no, that's right. I can imagine too. After that 40-minute conversation, he's like, "Yeah, I'm going to sleep after that." You know, like right. You know, after you talk to him.
Both small town Midwestern dudes, you know, we had some, you know, he knew the area where I was from. I kind of knew where he was from. We kind of just knocked it out of the park, you know, in the first conversation. And honestly, I don't think we hardly talked basketball at all. I think he asked me like maybe two basketball questions. Do you know how to use sports code? Yep, I do. And then the other one was like, have you done ops stuff before? Yeah, well, I've done this, this, and this. All right, cool. And then the rest of the conversation was just like family stuff. And like it really, and we kind of hit it off and then shoot. Lived with him the first month in the job, and the rest is history.
Now, you know, it's funny, man. I'm so glad you shared that, Adam, because we say that on here all the time. Like, one, you got to put yourself out there. Not that that guarantees you anything, but if you don't put yourself out there, or at least put yourself in position by being ready skill-wise in terms of, you know, your skill set. But then the other thing we talk about all the time is just your one handshake or one phone call away from your life changing. Man. You just never know. And you have to work for the moment that you don't know is coming. Right. The same thing we tell guys on the bench, like, hey, you're going in. Every game takes a life of its own. So might be 17 minutes tonight, might be 8 this weekend, might be 22 minutes next week. But staying ready for the moment that you don't know is coming. Is as big as anything.
Guys, I'm not going to lie. And I tell Gore this all the time, and he could probably attest to the conversation. Like when he first told me, hey, because like he called me immediately as soon as the conversation was over with. He's like, what do you think about Buffalo? I said, Buffalo. I said, what league is that? Like, I don't even know. I had no idea, no clue at all. And I was like, shoot, you know, I always joke about with Coach. It's like, man, the best thing I had was I was available. I didn't have a job. Like I was ready to go. Like if we didn't get, you know, let go at Mississippi State and I had that video coordinator job and we were good for the next year, I don't know if I would take, like, I don't know. Maybe I would, maybe I wouldn't, but like the best thing I was available. I needed one and got really, really lucky. You know, but it's, you gotta be ready to go. Gotta be willing to go anywhere. Gotta be ready for that opportunity for sure.
Big time, man.
No, that's phenomenal advice.
Yeah, no, it's an incredible story.
Like you said, you never know. You honestly never know. I mean, that's been – I'm not at Alabama or Buffalo, but I've had the experience that, like, you never know. I got a phone call and opportunity to be able to coach college. So it's just like you never know when that phone call is going to come. You just got to be prepared. But what we'll do now is we'll cut to our final segment, which ultimately is three quick hitters, three questions, and then we'll – tie it all in with a final question at the end and get to our closing remarks. Our first quick hitter is, okay, you're the head coach, blue collar you. I was going to say hypothetically, but you've been a head coach. So we'll say you're the head coach, blue collar you. You're up 3 with limited time left. And I guess the question is up to you. How many seconds do you start if you do start fouling? So you're up 3, limited time left. Do you start fouling and how many seconds?
Great question. I'm definitely a proponent of following. Probably, you know, I mean, if it's less than 2 seconds, maybe not. because I just don't know the quality of shot you can get off. And it's probably going to be, if you do foul, it's probably going to be on the shot. I'm definitely fouling, you know, under 6, under 7 seconds. If there's, you know, 10, 12 seconds, you know, if there's less than the, if you're no shot clock, let it get down and then start to foul. But you don't want to foul too early and leave too much time on the clock either. I think the sweet spot would be somewhere between four and eight seconds to foul.
Yeah, 4 and 8. I was going to say, yeah, 6 and 9, I was thinking in that range. But, yeah, and then, yeah.
Right whenever they try to get into their action, I think, whenever that typically is around them.
And get your biggest dudes in there to block out on the free throw. get some monsters in there on the foul line. Be good at those pinches, boys.
No doubt.
The second one would be, what is your true definition of a team leader and a player?
Man, got to be an everyday guy. That's for sure. He's got to be a guy that you're never, you know, on to play harder. You know, he's got to be an everyday guy. It always helps when your leader is your best player. Doesn't have to be, but, you know, I think a lot of the great teams, your leader is your best player. Or at least has that best player has some leadership qualities. But if he's not your best player, he's just got to be an everyday guy that guards, that defends, that does the dirty work, that's unselfish, that's humble, that's you know, doesn't have an ego, that's willing to admit when he screws a play up in film the next day. Like I think there has to be like a humility piece to it, but also a piece which is hard, you know, especially nowadays. Like, I think it separates the good teams from the great teams in college basketball is like a guy that's willing to hold other people accountable. And sometimes, a lot of times, it's not just going to be one guy. It's going to be a group of leaders that are willing to hold the rest of the group accountable. I think in our day and age, it's hard just to have one guy that's a standalone leader. If there's a couple that can do it together, it always helps.
And then the final question we got for the quick hitters would be, what is one thing, this can be in a role, this can be just overall, whether it was like working camp, whatever it may be, what is one thing you would have done differently, or maybe some advice, like we'll say one thing you would have done differently in your previous roles or outside of roles, if that makes sense.
It's actually a great question. And I talk to our managers, I try to mentor them a little bit, and our GAs on this is like, looking back on my, like, I didn't value the relationships with players enough early in my career. You know, as a manager, I was always kind of in the office working with those, with the coaches and on that, you know, doing the ops stuff and helping with this, helping with that, and probably not in the gym enough with our guys. And I still, you know, as a manager, GA, rebounded and worked guys out and stuff like that. But I struggled once I became a full-time staff member and couldn't be on the court with the guys, maintaining that strong relationship. And I really struggled with that early on, you know, Santa Clara, even at State. It's something that, you know, Coach talked to me about at Buffalo, and finding, you know, especially as an ops guy, where you're always the guy that's trying to get them to do stuff that they don't want to do, you know, because it doesn't have anything to do with basketball. Like, you need
community service.
Do this, yeah, and community service. Right. I'm like, you're always a bad guy. So trying to maintain that, you know, a relationship outside of that is something that I thought I struggled with early on in the career. Looking back on something I still work on every day and try to get better and better at. And it's a lot easier when you are on the court with them and you can kind of have that bond with them on the court. But finding different ways to do it when you're not on the court with them, you know, whether it's for lunch, you know, taking them to dinner, you know, just showing interest in them outside of basketball, man, is huge.
Keeps the retention too. Keep them around. Keep them happy. You know, they definitely want to stay around with somebody they can respect. I like that. The final question we have to tie it all in is, if you could narrow down to one top best piece of advice for young rising coaches trying to get their foot in the door, and then how can they accomplish that advice?
I tell our managers all the time, like, you have to find a niche, first of all. Like, what can you do? You know, early in my career, like, I got involved in like Photoshop and graphic design. That was when like you still were doing mail outs and sending stuff in the mail, and then it became texting graphics to recruits and different stuff like that. So like find a niche, whether, you know, mine's kind of transformed into analytics, into scouting, into offense, but find a niche where you are going to try to be the best in the country at it. And whatever that niche is, it could be recruiting, whatever it is, but find a niche where, you know, whatever staff you're on, whatever, you know, if you're a manager, a GA, the staff that you're working for should say, like, how are we going to operate when he leaves? Because he does this so well. And that's something that I always have tried to accomplish. But in the back of your head, knowing that someone's always trying to be better than you, you know what I mean? Like, there's other, yep. so you can't be full of yourself, but try to find a niche where you're the best in the country at. But then also be as well-rounded as you can be, which is something that I continue to work on and that I probably, you know, like we touched on, struggled with early in my career with the relationship piece, is like, you've got to be well-rounded, but you got to be really, really freaking good at something and to stand out, just like players. Like, you know, like what Coach Saban always says, like the ands and buts, like you got to have a lot of ands as a coach as well, and not many buts, if any. And your ands got to outweigh your butts. And so that would be, you know, kind of my piece of advice. You know, don't compare yourself to other people in your staff, other managers, other GAs, other people you see in the business. I think comparison is poison. You know, I think it's something that's helped me keep a fresh mindset. You know, I was a support staff guy for, you know, basically like 9 to 12 years, you know, so like, I could have easily compared myself to a lot of my friends who had assistant coaching jobs who are now head coaches. But man, you're running your own race. Do what makes you happy. Do your job. Do it at the highest level you can. And that's kind of where I would stand.
Perfect, perfect, perfect. Yeah, you covered a bunch of angles there, which is great. Well, that wraps it up. Before we get to our closing remarks, anybody got any final comments or anything to throw in?
No, Adam, again, man, I just want to say thank you. You know, you're appreciate you obviously being a member, but even more so just taking the time during the season. Again, we know it's busy and it's been a pleasure now just connecting with you, getting to know you, and just wish you the best, man. You guys are killing it there. You're going to be really, really hard to beat next month. And so hopefully that the month of March goes longer than shorter. So I got a feeling it will.
No, I appreciate it. And, you know, obviously appreciate everything you guys are doing here with Rising Coaches. It's man, it's the lifeblood of our business right now, especially for young cats coming up. And we certainly have made it a lot easier to network and learn. And, and it's big time. Love what you guys are doing.
Thank you.
Coach Bauman over at Alabama, everybody. Thank you, Coach, for sharing everything you got. That was definitely great. Well, everybody, that does it for another episode of the Rising Coaches Podcast. Again, we got Doug Caputo and Alan Major here. Keep working. Keep rising, coaches. Take care, everybody. Prepare your team for success this season with our friends at Dr. Dish Basketball, the official number one selling shooting machine in basketball. If you're looking to transform and focus your team's training efforts, all you have to do is mention Rising Coaches or tell them we sent you with the Rising Coaches Podcast. For an additional $300 off select Dr. Dish shooting machines. I want to thank all our listeners for tuning in with us this episode. If you are not a member, want more content, or even be a potential member on our member spotlight to have your story heard, go visit risingcoaches.com. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and X at Rising Coaches. And don't forget to subscribe, leave a rating, and review so we can continue to keep rising together.